Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Hard Currency, the weekly podcast from the Financial Times on the foreign exchange market. I'm Roger Blitz, and all eyes and ears this week have been on new Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell, who came to Congress twice and first talked up the US economy, which promptly sent rate expectations soaring, which dragged down equities and which put a rocket up the dollar. But on the second occasion, it looks as if he has tried to row back on that idea a bit. So what will this week give us? Will it be a turning point, not just for the dollar, but for the market's relations with the Federal Reserve? Or is this all just a blip in the ongoing trends of 2018? With me to discuss all these is Jean Médecin, a member of the investment committee of Carmignac, the European asset manager. Jean, what did you make of Powell's first utterances as a Fed Reserve chair?
I think it clearly illustrates the danger of communication. His first line was obviously probably not as hawkish as people said, but obviously the tone he used and the way he expressed himself, which was quite different from his predecessors.
Very straight talking, wasn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah. Created some shockwaves in the market, which he tried probably today to address by correcting a little bit the feeling he gave. And this is probably the danger and the challenge of a chairman of the Federal Reserve. It's not just an exercise where you communicate on content, but the way you deliver it is so important. And obviously, new chairman, new challenge, yes. New risk.
Market reaction has therefore been fairly volatile this week. His first appearance in front of the Financial Services Committee, they did buy this and they did drive the dollar higher, and then it's now coming off again. Is the market a little bit confused? Is it not surprising when you've got a new Fed chair?
I think there is always a period of adjustment. I think what is very clear is that we started the year with positive view in terms of growth accelerating, inflation being back to normal. And that was quite positive for investors. Then all of a sudden, people started to be worried that actually better growth will be too much growth and that it will lead to too much inflation. And that created the wobbles we have seen in the financial markets. At Carmignac, we believe that, as a matter of fact, the greatest danger is not so much that growth will be too strong and inflation will be too strong, but that growth might actually reach a peak and that inflation might not be as strong as expected, and therefore monetary policy might be too tight.
What is concerning you about global growth then? Why do you think it's reached a peak? Well, what's the data you've just seen that worries you?
I think people are too optimistic in terms of the impact of the tax reform in the US. Yes. They probably underestimate that this tax plan is coming at a time where, in particular for households, they have been digging to use their savings for quite a while, yes. And that this plan might be more an opportunity for them to replenish their savings. So we might not have the kind of booster that everybody yes. is hoping for. But I think also probably more importantly, you referred to the trend in the currency market. And obviously, this weaker dollar that we have seen since the start of the year, and actually a trend that started beginning of 2017, start to be a kind of powerful headwind for countries like Eurozone or Japan. And this is very obvious in the numbers we are seeing from those two regions.
So you see the slowdown, or rather the US economic growth slowing, which affects Eurozone, other economies.
Yeah, and I think also the dollar impact is very important. Let's keep in mind that over the last 2 years, most of the Eurozone growth acceleration was driven by net exports yes. and not by consumption or investment being stronger. Right. So obviously those currency movements yes. are a very powerful headwind.
External factors, therefore.
Exactly.
So just looking a bit more deeply, therefore, inflation prospects. On Thursday today, we just had the Fed's chosen benchmark for looking at inflation, the PCE deflator, which was on the money, wasn't it? It didn't move. It didn't.
Yeah, absolutely. It was in line with expectation. It's close to this magic number that everybody is calling yes. for inflation, which is 2%.
Yes.
I guess we have to keep in mind that external factors such as stronger oil price or weaker dollar are helping this inflation number. And probably we are a far cry from seeing a kind of inflation scares, which is agitating the market right now. And when you put in parallel what's happening in Europe, where we have seen that inflation numbers have been more on the weakish side, I guess it's really showing you how external factors are having such an important impact on inflation, and we should not be too worried about being on the verge of a kind of inflation surge.
It's interesting, Jean, because it's a month since we had that that earnings story. Do you remember February the 2nd?
Yes.
We had that big shift, which actually you could say led to the big market correction in February. And we thought, wow, this is it. Here we go. Inflation time. It's happening. Further data in the last few weeks and the PC deflator suggest that's overdone. When the market grabs hold of that realization, that's going to mean that the trend of weaker dollar is going to continue, and that inflation is just going to be too hard to grasp, not just in the US, but in the Eurozone.
I think it illustrates one of the biggest issues when you invest in markets, which is to give too much power to a single data point, especially one which is as volatile as the number you referred.
Yes.
But on the other hand, it reflects very much on the psyche of the market, because this kind of very strong reaction to this inflation number is telling you one thing, which is that inflation now is really one of the key driver of investors, some things which is really on their radar screen. Our message is that inflation is going to remain contained and that there is no reason to panic because of this inflation.
But I think we will be talking in the next few months about demographic issues, you know, the trends of technology. We've been talking about it for many years, but this is still going to be, you know, the strong theme. And also, you know, what is it? A quarter of jobs in the US are in low wages. The tax reforms you were talking about, they benefit higher earners, don't they?
All very valid elements you're flagging. Inflation today is really being thrown between, on one hand, cyclical factors, which are obviously supporting inflation, but structural drivers such as the one you mentioned, which are still capping inflation. So for us, can we see inflation volatility? Can we see some temporary high numbers in the coming months or so? Yes, we can. But I'm pretty sure that when we will be after the summer, we will see that we are absolutely not on the verge of the kind of big inflation surge, which is scaring people.
So what does this mean for the European Central Bank and the Bank of Japan? Big week next week, Jean. Both are meeting, one on Thursday, one on Friday. Where does this position leave them?
I think it gives Mario Draghi a lot of leeway to maintain a very dovish monetary policy. He referred many times to being prudent, patient and persistent. And when you look at the latest inflation numbers in the Eurozone, and if you look even at the economic numbers, probably it gives him some breathing space to maintain a very accommodative monetary policy.
A bit of breathing space, a month or so, not that much though, surely?
You know, I think it gives him first quite a bit. And let's keep in mind that the issue is not just of what's happening in terms of tapering the purchase of sovereign bonds, but the real issue is obviously about the pace of interest rates rise. And right now, the market has already priced, has already factored quite a lot of rate rise following the tapering. We think that the market is today already quite hawkish in its assessment of the monetary policy, and probably too hawkish.
And the same with the Bank of Japan?
Bank of Japan, the situation is probably even more stable in the sense that having moved from a commitment to buy bonds to a commitment to target interest rates, they don't really have the same pressure as the European Central Bank. So their breathing space is probably even bigger. Probably considering the strength of the yen, which has appreciated by more than 5% versus the dollar since the start of the year, the Bank of Japan will be very reluctant to give any kind of signals that might lead its currency to keep appreciating.
All right, Jean, take off your economic research hat, put on your investment hat. How are you going to trade the next few months?
First of all, I think people have to understand that the relationship between bonds on one hand and equity has changed, the ways those two asset classes behave has somehow changed. We moved from a negative correlation regime to a positive correlation regime. What it means for people, it means that the traditional assumption that buying bonds together with equity is not necessarily going to protect you.
Right.
So you need to be probably more flexible. You need to have, in terms of flexibility, the capacity to go on the short side, including when you invest in bonds, so in to make money when interest rates are rising. And probably you need also to maintain a fair amount of diversification in your portfolio.
Diversification. I knew you were going to come out. But just finally, on the currency front, are we sticking to, you know, the medium-term view about weak dollar, strong euro, pretty strong yen?
There are a lot of supporting factors for a weaker dollar. But one thing which is important to understand is one of the consequences of a weaker dollar is that it's actually quite supportive to certain asset classes, like, for example, emerging markets. Yes. And I'm back because I saw you smiling on diversification. I want to flag
diverse in currency.
But you need to know why. And one asset class which I think is quite interesting is local bonds of emerging markets, because you see that they exhibit a behavior which is very disconnected from what's happening in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So when we talk about diversification, it's not diversification for the sake of diversification, is to try to identify asset classes which are a bit living their own life. And emerging markets local bonds are exhibiting these kind of characteristics. And for this, I think they provide quite an appealing segment for people to diversify their risk.
And therefore emerging market currencies.
And therefore emerging market currencies.
We have to leave it there. My thanks to Jean Médecin of Carmignac. So next week, some pretty important central bank meetings, plus another month of US payrolls and wage earnings to digest. And yet further notches what we haven't discussed along the slow Brexit train. So join us again for Hard Currency. Goodbye.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.